The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Well, we've got a new wide receiver. We're down a all-pro level weak side linebacker. And the Dolphins just got a whole lot better. And they're rolling into town. Good morning. Welcome in to Cap J Hood. Connor McKnight is in for my guy Hoodie, who's on vacay. He's got an anniversary with his beautiful bride coming up. So happy anniversary to Hoodie and to Michelle. And Connor, the price for a guy who's had three touchdowns in 2 years is a second-round pick and the higher of the two to keep him from going to Green Bay. Chase Claypool, now a Bear. Do you like it?
Yeah, I think I do. How about it, Cap? Listen, yesterday's trade deadline felt a lot more like a Major League Baseball
yes.
trade deadline than it did the NFL, right?
And totally.
I am here for it. That was so much. That was wild. It was fun. I mean, first of all, up until the point where Ryan Poles spoke with our guys Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, you got to do the whole thing where you're like, okay, what does this mean? What does it all mean? What do these trades mean? Are they in on Justin Fields because they picked up a wide receiver? How big was the gulf between the contract of Roquan Smith and what the Bears were offering? All of that stuff. That's some of the more fun sports conversation I think you can have about your ball club in the middle of the season while you're coming off two of the best games your team has played in the new regime's era. That's not a bad day yesterday. That's not a bad sports day.
Yeah, it was outstanding. Then I'm watching, Steve Nash wants out. Oh, they're going to give him his demand? You're out. Okay, gone. And then they're going to hire Emi Udoka. We'll get to all of that. And then the Bulls got a much-needed road win. Zach LaVine was just ridiculous in the fourth quarter. Ridiculous. So we'll get to all of that. And then the White Sox hired a manager that nobody's ever heard of. But we'll see. We'll see what he does. Let's get to football. Because Chase Claypool was on the market. Yesterday morning, Josina Anderson from ESPN and others are tweeting, looks like he's going to be a Packer. And all of a sudden, Ryan Poles rides in and goes, not so fast. I'll give a better second-round pick. Oh, you can have him. Done deal. And Aaron Rodgers talked on the Pat McAfee show. I know we were hoping to break some news here. We were in on the Claypool thing. I know it doesn't mean anything in terms of wins and losses, but the fact that we needed receiver help, and again, is he going to be an all-pro? I don't know. We'll find out. His first 3 years doesn't indicate that's where he's ascending to, but maybe a fresh start will be a great thing for him. The fact that the Packers wanted him and they couldn't get it done, and he's here, is just so freaking awesome.
Yeah, I think you can dig that as much as anything else, right? I mean, whether you've got, you mentioned it, the Rodgers thing on the Tank Top podcast and all that kind of, that feels good. I also think it matters that your front office's evaluations kind of jive with the rest of the league, that you've got kind of the same eyes on everybody else. Because let's talk about what Chase Claypool is and what he isn't, right? Coming out of the draft, he was a pretty highly regarded wide receiver. I mean, second-round pick, but you can get stars. Studs, I heard you talking yesterday on the way in. with Courtney Cronin about the guys you can get that have been gotten in the second round. You mentioned Davante Adams, right? I mean, you can get dudes in the second round at wide receiver now these days. And I think, you know, when you look at the traits, the skill sets, the physical size, the speed, he comps out to a lot of really good wide receivers. His rookie season looked really good. I remember taking him really high. Not that this matters all that much, but I remember taking pretty high at a fantasy draft after his rookie year, expecting more production like that. All that just to say, like, the pedigree is kind of there. You know, the measurable stuff is kind of there. He's got some. He's had some problems on the field, some unsportsmanlike, some not knowing where the chains are, all that kind of stuff. Guys do that. But I think when you look at an offseason where you've looked down the free agent wide receiver list coming up this next season, yes? It is grim, you know? I mean, it's just not there. And you need things to help Justin Fields. And while Ryan Poles didn't give the, yes, we're all in on Justin Fields now, all I've got to do is wait for the ink to dry on his contract extension answer to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday, I think you can definitely sense a much more robust love for the quarterback that they didn't draft now than you could have just 3 weeks ago. And that's a huge step in the right direction for this franchise as well.
All right, so here is the free agent list.
Oh, don't read it.
Nelson Aguilar.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have.
Sterling Shepard. That's a fine. Sorry, I coughed. DJ Chark. Randall Cobb. Marvin Jones, Julio Jones, and it comes with his AARP card. Byron Pringle. Oh, we already have him. Alan Lazard. That'd be even more hilarious if he left the Packers and came here. He's pretty decent. Jacoby Myers, a guy who I'm sure his parents are proud of him. I've never heard of him. Deonte Hardy.
Jacoby Myers is actually, he's 26. He's on the Patriots now. He'll catch a couple of balls for you. He's got a good rapport with Mac Jones. But your breakout's coming at age 25, 26.
Juju Smith-Schuster. A.J. Green. Jarvis Landry. A guy named Matthew Slater. He's 37. Cam Sims. N'Keal Harry. We already have him. That's pretty much about it. Sammy Watkins is on the list. Rashad Perriman is on the list.
Yeah.
There is not a ton here.
Right. And I like that you're getting ahead of the power curve here if you're the Bears. You have taken care of at least some need. And here's what, you know, I don't know about you, Cap, but to me, yesterday is about kind of one thing more than anything else. The most valuable thing that the Bears can acquire from here until next spring's draft is the highest pick that they could possibly find in the draft. And it's not because they could necessarily take their guy in the top eight or top five or whatever. You want to get positioned to draft a quarterback next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't want to draft a quarterback, you trade that pick to a team that does. That's the most valuable. It's one of, if not the most valuable thing in the NFL.
Unless there is
to position them for it.
A talent at the top of the draft. I'm not saying one. I don't think they're going to pick one. But let's assume they're picking in the top five. And there's some tackle or wide receiver like a Jamar Chase where you go, holy cow, we got to plug and play that guy. But, you know, I'm looking at free agency at tackle. Orlando Brown Jr. Mm-hmm. is 26, playing for the Chiefs. He will be unrestricted. I mean, that would look awfully nice on our offensive line. Mike McGlinchey is playing. He's 28, solid right tackle player for San Francisco. There's a handful of guys in there that you might look and go, maybe, just maybe. I don't know where Ryan Poles is going to spend his $128 million in cap space is what it's looking like. Somewhere along that line, they're going to have a ton of money. And you're right. If you could trade back and get more picks and you believe Justin's the guy and you're right, that's how you turn a team around quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's one more piece here, too, to things that Ryan Poles might be able to get done before, you know, if not during this season, then before the draft next year. I think there are a couple of guys that might be worth contract extensions on this team now, whether it's Jalen Johnson or, you know, maybe a couple of others. I'd be interested to see if he's going to be, you know, proactive on that end too, because what yesterday showed you as much as anything else is where the priorities are for this, for this new Bears front office, right? What do you want to spend your money on? What do you want to spend your capital on in terms of, you know, players to trade and draft picks to take players? It's perimeter stuff. It's edge rushers, it's wide receivers, and it's cornerbacks and quarterbacks, just like the rest of the league. And that's great to see, in my opinion. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, a little bit more you can do to make yourself, to make Jalen Johnson a little healthier in the pocketbook, a little bit more secure here. He's proved that he's worth a little bit. And if you can get out ahead of his marketplace, maybe you're getting a little bit of a break on what that free agent dollar might be. If not over the whole run of the deal, then certainly at the beginning with what that guaranteed money might be, keep the coffers, you know, nice and heavy for the, either this free agency or the draft class where you're going to have, I don't know, 35 picks or something like that. I'd be all in for that. I think it's great to see this front office be in a place where it can start to get proactive. And I wonder just how proactive they'd be willing to get, or if they'd be this kind of aggressive if the last two games, you know, the win against the Patriots and the loss against the Cowboys, even regardless of how that looked defensively, be wondering if they'd do this if the last 2 weeks hadn't gone the way they did.
All right, so let's hear from Ryan Poles in a moment. Bears very active at the deadline. Ryan spoke yesterday to Waddle and Sylvie, and we want to hear from you. What's one word you would use to describe the Bears' deadline? Plus, is Poles all in on Justin? That's all part of the Waddle and Sylvie conversation. And somebody else who should know might not like the Chase Claypool trade. You'll hear it all. It'll all be coming up here. Plus, I need your thoughts, Connor, Mr. White Sox, on Pedro Grifol, the new manager of the said White Sox, because Ozzie Guillen, my choice, did not get the job. So that'll
be. We live in a Grifol world now, Cap. It is a Grifol world.
Yeah, and just for anyone that says, I don't like the hire, you can't say that. And you can't
you have no
say,
idea.
And you can't say you love the hire. You can't. Nope. Nobody knows. He's never done it.
Such is hiring a manager in baseball in 2022. That's just the way it goes.
That is correct. But we're on Bears right now. Active at the deadline. Describe it in one word next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Quite a great day on this radio station yesterday as we talked a whole lot of Bears football. It was the trade deadline. We were all together, and it was just a fun, fun day out of Dave and Buster's, first at Espresso up in Bannockburn, and then Ryan Poles joined the Waddle and Sylvie show and talked a lot about the trade deadline, Roquan Smith. And Sylvie asked, I thought, Connor, a really good question the way he asked it. Has Justin Fields won you over?
I think the way he's performed is encouraging, and his progress is encouraging. You know, the relationship between him and Luke and him and the receivers and the tight ends and the rest of the group, it's moving in the right direction. I'm excited for him. You know, I feel like he's getting comfortable just reading body language. So I really hope we continue to stay on this trend. I believe in him. I also know that the team is young. He's young. There's going to be ups and downs. Like you said, the hot and cold piece, I know it's not easy, but we're going to have some patience with the ups and downs as we go. But I'm highly encouraged in the direction that he's going.
Okay. Did you take, like I'm hearing people go, oh boy, that didn't sound like a vote of confidence. Shea said that to me this morning when he walked in. He nearly ran me over in the conference room coming in. Almost felt like I was going to take a charge like Gordon Dragic last night.
You should have told me you were coming around that corner.
Tuck your chin. You got to tuck your chin when you head down to the hardwood.
Yeah, I was set. I had position, and he almost ran me over. But he said, boy, it didn't sound like a vote of confidence. I didn't take that. I took that as, hey, man, we're 7 games in, or 8 games in. What are we, 3-5? 8 games in, yeah, moving in the right direction. It's exciting to see. I'm happy for him. We're in the middle of a season. What do you want him to come out and go, yep, that's our guy. That's our guy. And then we get our ass beat by the Dolphins, and he doesn't have a good game, and everyone's like, maybe you were a little premature in this first take society. Shea would be the first guy coming. Maybe he spoke too soon, and maybe he's not the guy. Just let it play out.
Yeah,
let it play out. He's the guy.
It's what I wanted to hear from him, to be quite honest, about the quarterback situation. Has the resume for Justin Fields on, you know, in games, between the lines, has it shown you anything that would say that a GM would go, yes, that's our guy. We got to have it going forward. We're not looking anywhere else. Found our solution. No, of course not. It hasn't. And like you and I were just talking about in the first segment of the show, I think, and it sounds like you think the same thing, one of the more valuable items in the NFL right now to a general manager is having the option of taking a brand new quarterback toward the top of the draft and having a quarterback on staff that's got the kind of upside and potential that Justin Fields has. So your draft pick is as valuable as possible to every other team in the NFL who's looking to get a quarterback. And at least half of the teams are in the market for a quarterback. I think that's what you have to say in order to keep valuable the most valuable thing in your franchise right now. And that's not tipping your hand to anybody else. I love the idea. You know, where we are right now, I'll see where we go. But, like, I love the idea of the Bears being able to trade back from a position of strength in the draft to address a handful of needs in that first round. I think that'd be a great way to attack it, plus Justin Fields on the roster. I love that idea.
I completely agree with you that at the end of the year, either you know he's your guy or you know he's not your guy. The worst part would be, we don't know. We're not
but
sure.
But you've got, I agree that you'd love to know by the end of this second season, but you don't have to know by the end of this year, do you? I mean, let's say you've taken the swing at Mac Jones, right? Maybe Cody Whitehair does or doesn't come back from the IR. We'll see where that goes. You still have an offensive line that's not good. Mm-hmm. Even with Chase Claypool on it, even if he plays as well as you could kind of consider, he'll still be with a brand new offense and a brand new quarterback and a brand new coordinator for the second half of the season. I could see where things look good for Claypool and Fields, and yet you're still not seeing it really click on the field the way you want to. I mean, this isn't going to turn into a 35-point offense or anything. Well, I mean, if it does, it's going to be because of Fields. I think you've still got one more season to not be convinced of Justin Fields and still have your building of this team, this rebuild of this team, have a little bit more time. It's not the greatest situation to be in, but you've got one more season to work with what you've got on staff now, yeah?
Yes and no, because if your record at the end of this year, they're 3-5, now let's give them that they finish 6-11.
Okay.
They're 6-11, maybe 5-12. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, Bears are picking sixth in the draft. And there's a really good quarterback on the board. Really good. That you like. You're probably not going to be picking that high again with almost $130 million in cap space and that pick and a bunch of other picks. If there's a guy you like and you're not sure on Justin, you better take the dude that you love. But if you're like, we got our guy, do what you said earlier. I'm trading back. Yeah. Someone else is coming up to get that guy.
I hear you. I guess here's the question I have for you, Cap, and I guess for Bears fans too. I'm kind of the mind that given the last two games from Justin Fields, if he's playing to a point where we know he's the guy, the Bears have won more than just two more games. Is the defense so bad that if Justin Fields continues the step-by-step, the ascent that he's gone through over the last 2 weeks, that they absolutely can't win more than two games? Is that where we're at? Let me just check in real quick. Are they that bad now?
Offensively?
No, defensively.
Oh, defensively.
Defensively. Are they so bad defensively that Fields, if he continues the kind of work that he's done, is just hopeless in terms of overcoming how bad that defense is going to be?
Their defense isn't good. They had Roquan on the field. Now, he may have been distracted because we're hearing that he already knew something was in the works on Sunday. He was horrible. he was their lowest graded defensive player, right. And they gave up 49 points. So right. Without him, without Bob Quinn, all of a sudden, you're not real good. And you got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and Mike Gesicki. And we got Bradley Chubb coming off the edge now.
So my pushback on missing Roquan, hasn't it been like 3 or 4 times this season he's been their lowest graded defender? I don't know that they're losing a ton in getting him out because it didn't seem like he was super involved all the time.
You don't have anyone at his level that you're putting in there.
No,
you're taking a definite step back.
From a talent perspective, I'm saying from a performance perspective, though, you're losing a guy who is consistently playing as one of your worst defenders in these games.
He's still the leading tackler in the NFL.
Yes, I understand that. But we always talk about how misleading is that stat because so many of those tackles are coming downfield after long completions or in coverage.
His fault or the fact that their front four stinks.
Well, if he's not a pass rusher, then what need do you have? Like, it's not going to change. I'm saying I don't think losing him changes much because the issues that you had were not Roquan issues. He wasn't playing well as is, and it doesn't change the fact you don't have a pass rush. So, regardless, like, you didn't have a pass rush with Quinn. I don't think the defense gets that much worse. I think it was already bad.
You also lose a guy who was one of your leaders in there. Robert Quinn, everyone said, was one of the leaders in there. You can't keep taking guys who have a strong voice out and expect, just go to work. Just go to work. You can't. So,
you've got guys, the rest of that defense are all a bunch of guys that are hungry to prove themselves in the NFL, right? Like, if you're looking at whether it's, Robinson or Jones or whatever, and you're going, okay, each and every week out there, fellas, you are auditioning for this next contract. You are auditioning for a starting job. Show us what you got in the NFL. And then you go, okay, well, we traded Roquan, the guy who demanded a trade just a couple of months ago. Remember that guy, the guy who demanded to be traded? And then so we traded him. And then those guys go, well, because you traded Roquan, the guy who demanded a trade a couple of months ago, then we can't work hard anymore. Then we're not going to, that doesn't play either. Right. Those things don't add up. Shay, I get what you're saying. Like, how much worse can it be? All I know is that we're not going to be able to really evaluate just how bad the Bears defense is once they play the Miami Dolphins. Like they're better in every way regardless. Mm-hmm. And I don't think whether, if they throw up 55, this Bears defense will be as bad as it has been all year because they're that much better and their strengths are in every place. The Bears are completely terrible.
Correct. Now, I think the Bears defensive backfield is the strongest room on the roster. I don't think there's any question. We talked about that in the summer, though. That's not a revelation.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, you've got to deal with Tyreek Hill. You got to deal with Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, Raheem Mostert. Jeff Wilson just got there, and they have a good offensive line, and Tua's back. That team's going to be a hell of a challenge for anybody to stop, let alone a team that just lost Roquan Smith, the NFL's leading tackler, and lost Robert Quinn. That's not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be pretty. But if, and I guess at the end of the day, all I need from the Bears from here on out is for Justin Fields to have a day kind of like he did against the Cowboys. What do we got, 8 weeks left? For 60%, for 70% of the games you got left. And I don't mean in terms of just one game. If I see that kind of stuff, I'll be just fine. And I think that's where Ryan Poles is at, too. If he sees that kind of stuff, that kind of development from players that need to show it, Fields being number one on that list, I think you live with it.
312-332-3776. So the Bears were very active at the deadline. And then we got word after they traded Roquan the day before and they traded Robert Quinn last week, the Bears made a trade to acquire somebody. Chase Claypool tells anyone who'll listen, I've been underused. I'm a number one receiver in this league. Well, there is the ranking of grades for deadline trades. Did the rankings like the trade the Bears made? Did Keyshawn Johnson, who was the number one pick in the NFL draft, Keyshawn knows receivers. Did he like the trade? And do you like the trade? 312-332-3776. We're coming to you next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on a Cap J Hood. Hoodie's on vacay. Hope you're enjoying your time away, my man. Connor McKnight is in for Johnny. Shane Orling is our executive producer. We know him as Snorling. And Charlie Bevins is at the controls and in charge of the sound here on the show. Bears very active at the deadline. So, did you like the trade giving up the higher of the 2 second-round picks the Bears had? They own theirs, and they own Baltimore's at the start of yesterday. The higher one will most definitely be ours. That was the trump card to get past Green Bay, who thought they were getting Chase Claypool for their second-round pick, which obviously Pittsburgh thinks will be worse or lower into the second round than the Bears' pick. So I went and did a little homework. USA Today, they did their trade grades. Okay. They gave these are the best of the trades. Winners. San Francisco 49ers for winning the Christian McCaffrey sweepstakes.
Well,
Miami
sure,
Dolphins. Yeah. Their acquisition of Bradley Chubb was a win for them. And they said Tua Tagovailoa, that also is a win because getting Chubb means that this team is all in to try and win, and he's now healthy. And Omar Khan, winner. Who's he? The Pittsburgh Steelers GM began putting his stamp on his struggling team with some nifty moves. He offloaded number 3 wide receiver Chase Claypool, the second rounder in 2020, to the Bears for a round 2 pick next year that is very likely to be in the top 40 overall, given the way Chicago's season is going. He also said the Jaguars' low-risk, high-reward gambit for suspended wide receiver Calvin Ridley, who's out for the remainder of this year for a parlay, he put in when he was injured last year. You can't bet on NFL games. But guess what? He called that a win for Jacksonville rolling the dice. Roquan Smith, winner, got out of a place that didn't want to pay him. He has a fantastic opportunity to get the extension he wants in Baltimore. The Vikings, a winner, to get T.J. Hockenson. And the Carolina Panthers for the haul they got back for Robbie Anderson and McCaffrey. Losers. Buffalo Bills, because they didn't do much. They got Nyheim Hines, but they didn't make anything bigger. Brandon Cooks is stuck with the Texans. And then Los Angeles Rams struck out on Christian McCaffrey. The other losers, Ryan Poles. Chicago's rookie GM had done a nice job siphoning away players like Smith and defensive end Robert Quinn, who are not part of the Bears' future for much-needed draft capital. But surrendering a round 2 pick for Claypool, even if Chicago's bottom-ranked passing offense needs the help, feels like a major reach. Claypool hasn't proven he can be a consistent number 2, much less the 1 or 1A he likely becomes by default in the Windy City. Does that concern you?
Would you have been all right with the trade if it were the Ravens' second-round pick and not the Bears' pick? Because I think that's where I come down on this.
I'm okay with the trade either way.
Either way.
I'm just reading what you're hearing there.
No, for sure. For sure. I get that. I you know, yesterday when we were all at Dave & Buster's doing our thing and hanging out, the conversation over at our table, I was talking with Black and Abdallah, and I think Charlie was like, oh, Tyler and Charlie were standing over at the table for a little while. We were in between that moment, and this is what I'm talking about at the open of the show. You know, you get the trade deadline like this in the NFL, and it feels like Major League. He got who? What did they give up for? You know, you're in between. You don't really know what's going on. It's a ton of fun. I think the conversation then was, well, if they gave up the Ravens pick, then fine, I can live with it. If they gave up their own second round pick, well, then it's kind of on your talent evaluators. It's kind of on Fields. It's kind of on Claypool, you know, to make sure that this is the right thing, right? That you've got enough out of this. So I think it's the difference between those two picks for me that makes it between being a flyer on a guy and the what did your overreach, is it, was that the words that that the write up there used to kind of describe the trade?
Felt like a major reach.
Yeah, a major reach. Oh, yes. Interesting. I don't know. I can't be the guy who's been really worried about providing weapons and protection for Justin Fields because of how important those things are to evaluate Justin Fields, and then say going to get a wide receiver who's better than any on the free agent market, maybe save, I don't know, one or two that you may not sign, that's a bad move. I'm pretty okay with it.
Okay.
Moreover, I like the idea that the front office can trade away and add in at the same time, that you can walk and chew bubblegum. Yeah. I like that.
Here is Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn was the number one overall pick in the draft and played wildly successful football for a long time in the NFL as a receiver. Here's Keyshawn on the Bears trade for Chase Claypool.
Some people don't know. They keep screaming Claypool. I'm like, that ain't nothing but a guy, man. Why would I give up a second round pick for a guy?
Well, I wouldn't give up a second for Claypool either.
Bears did. Why would? Yeah. So the Bears did it as a piece for the future. That's okay. The Bears did it for a piece for the future. And that's okay if he's your third guy in a rotation. But when you're talking about a championship-type run on a team, that's not the answer. Right. And think about it this way. The Pittsburgh Steelers just drafted this dude a couple years ago. They decided, sure,
take him.
Give me a two. You can have him. That's all I'm saying.
So not exactly a ringing endorsement of the Chase Claypool trade from a guy who you think would know. Let's go to the phones. Brian is on the south side of our city, 312-332-3776. Hey, Brian, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, guys, great show always.
Thanks.
I just want to make a comment about our history. From Robbie Gold, people we don't pay or we trade. We'll know one day whether these trades are good or bad, but in most cases, they always turn out bad for us because we don't want to pay someone to stay. I played on a lot of sports teams, and these inspirational players make other players better, and it is an ingredient that the Patriots and other teams have done, putting 6- and 7-year players on their practice squad to work with the young guys, to have that player on the team that makes everybody inspirational and play better. And the Bears keep letting these people go, from Alshon Jeffries, I could name a ton of them, that we let go. And then it puts us in a position every time to start again, and we blame it on the coach, we blame it on the GM, and we get a new one, and we start again and again. I think that when we don't have what I call that gangster player that everybody looks up to and sees, we always hurt ourselves. And the Bears has a history of hurting ourselves by letting these people go, or they have to fight through our media and on our shows like this to get their money, like Peanut. And even Urlacher and Briggs, they fought to get recognized. When I heard a point made just a minute ago about a tackle being made down the field. Those down-the-field tackles by these inspirational players lead to an interception 5 and 6 plays later instead of a breakaway touchdown. These players that make a lot of tackles, even if they're 5-6 down, Quinn, they're inspirational players that make everybody better. Jackson had a career year when Mack came to that team and was rushing that passer. And that's my point. We won't know until we sit back and we're going to see that every time we let these inspirational players get away, we pay for it.
Appreciate the call, man. Thanks, Brian. Look, here's the deal for me, Connor, and I understand where he's coming from. Until we could protect Justin at a much higher level and he becomes a better pocket passer, that's not what he is right now. His strength is using his legs, throwing on the move, running boots and waggles and screens. That's the way we're going to win, by running the football and throwing in that manner. Until we have, there's Orlando Brown or whoever it is at left tackle, and there's a Pro Bowler at right tackle, and we're really strong up the middle. Oh, we got three dudes that can receive, like T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Jamar Chase, just to name a team that has three really good ones. Once we get to that point, then you're talking about a different team. Right now, it is what it is. You try to acquire talent wherever you can get it.
I think that's right. I think we watched Justin Fields be a pocket passer at Ohio State. It's a lot cleaner pocket when you're the Buckeyes against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights than it is when you're the Chicago Bears against the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see Justin get a cleaner pocket and be able to develop that kind of stuff, be able to develop a 1-2-3 kind of pure progression sort of guy. I'm all about that. They don't have that right now. And I guess to what the caller was saying about inspirational players, I mean, I get it. You want leaders on your defense. I'm fine with that. This team has had leaders on its defense since I was born, since before I was born. I think we talked about this last week, Cap. I would much rather build a team. This is me personally. I would much rather start a rebuild of a team by trying to attack a way to get to 28, 35 points in a game, to get high point totals offensively, and then build a defense, go backward that way. We've seen it try and go the other way. It's harder. It's just harder to do when you're trying to build a defense and then just add in, sprinkle on top the rest of that offense. If you want defense, if you want inspirational players, that's great. Pay them. Get them on the edge. Defensive ends. Quarterbacks. Go get cornerbacks. Sorry. Go get the quarterback and go protect passes on the edge. Perimeter is where you win in the NFL right now. All right. That's what gets paid.
All right. We'll get to more of your calls. Bears active at the deadline. Did you like what Ryan Poles did? Exporting Roquan and Robert Quinn, importing Chase Claypool. NFL.com, they gave their grades. They might be a little different. We'll be right back.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hood Show. Connor in for Hoodie. 312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. We're going right back to your calls. By the way, NFL.com. I teased this, so I want to pay it off. The number one winner at the deadline, the Ravens defense for getting Roquan Smith. The number two winner, Connor, Justin Fields, because the Bears added Chase Claypool. It says it's making life much easier for Fields, who's starting to find a comfort zone in the Bears offense. And the number three winner was Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach, who can now not complain about resources after getting Bradley Chubb and Jeff Wilson at the deadline. Thank you, Lamont Battle, for sending me that. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Derek in Brooklyn. Derek's up. Hey, Derek, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, good morning, Cap. How's everybody doing?
All good, man.
A couple of comments. There's no way I'm comparing Claypool to this example that I'm going to throw out there, but there's been a lot of wide receivers over the years that went to teams and they've played good and they played bad. For example, Randy Moss went to the Raiders. He played horrible there. You know, Terrell Owens left San Francisco, went to Philly. He was good there. Like I'm saying, change of scenery for certain players.
How about Chris Carter?
Yeah, Chris Carter. You know, there's a lot of different examples. But Claypool, I'm going to say this. Over the last couple of years, he played with Roethlisberger. Number one, Roethlisberger wasn't healthy. Number two, the Pittsburgh offensive line over the last couple of years has been decimated with injuries. Yes, has he dropped passes? Yes. But does he have the potential to be a good number two? I'm not going to put him in that number one range. I think he could be a good number two. If you put this lineup out there, the single back formation with him, Harry, and Mooney in the slot, trust me, man. And if that offensive line could just give Fields a little bit of time to get rid of the ball, we can be a much better off offense than what we have been. That's basically all I want to say. Love the show. Go Bears. Let's do it.
Let's do
it.
Easy, fellas. Have a great day, Derek. That's our guy, Derek, out in Brooklyn. Back to the phones, Connor. Let's go to, how about Patrick in Lincoln Park? Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
I think this is just kind of the perfect storm here. I mean, we got such a big wide receiving core. We got Equanimee St. Brown, who's over 6'4". We got N'Keal Harry's over 6'4". And now we got this guy over 6'4". I mean, kind of a perfect storm to help out Fields. And on top of that, if you look at free agency, man, there's just no one really available right now. And if you start looking at other guys and other positions that are open, you start seeing guys that are 25, 26 that are ready for O-line deals and sign their new deals, like Quentin Nelson, Orlando Pace, other guys like, I think, the Saints center, Eric McCoy is available. These guys are young guys that are proven O-linemen that can really help us out. And this kind of, you know, makes it a little bit easier on the front office if they're trying to make deals in free agency. So I really feel like this bolsters our team. Might not be the perfect guy. You know, you might be able to get a guy with a higher ceiling in that second round, but you're definitely getting a guy with a pretty high floor. And I think that's pretty fundamental for going forward with Fields.
A very, very good analysis. And again, he talked Ryan Poles to Waddle, and thanks for the call to Waddle and Sylvie. And after shot or no shot, I want to play more of that interview because I thought the boys did a great job. You know, and I thought he was very open, Ryan Poles, where he talked about looking at free agency and the draft at certain positions mm-hmm. and going, I might be able to strike there in free agency, but I can't strike because the crop isn't as impressive as they had hoped. A lot of guys got traded in the offseason going into this year, so they're not going to be available. Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown and others. Let's get Space in here. Hey, Space, what's up, man?
Cap Connor, what's up, fellas?
What's
how y'all
up?
Feeling?
What's your dad? Yo. What you got?
Hey, man, I'm feeling pretty good, man. Poles is really he's really doing some things over here. I like the pickup of Chase Claypool. It's just like the caller said before. When Claypool was playing with Big Ben, he was old. He was 90, you know. And when he played next, he had Mitch Trubisky. You know what I'm saying? So he didn't have the ideal quarterback situation. Yes, he has a case of the drop seat, but he's a big, strong receiver. He can be easily a 1B for us. I'm not saying a 1A, but think about this. T. Higgins is an unrestricted free agent in 2024. If we can find a way to get him over here, because they can't pay him. They got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. They got to pay Joe Burrow. They got to pay Mixon. So they're not going to have money to pay him. They're still going to have to pay Boyd. So if we can mess around and get a big true number one like T. Higgins or get someone through the draft along with Chase Claypool, along with Darnell Mooney, we have the potential to go from worst to first. We got money and we got a lot of picks coming up. So that's what I do like what Poles is doing. He's definitely building the right way through the draft. And that's the one thing we've never seen on this side. We've always had good defense. It's about time we have a good offense. So, you know, I'm just excited about where the future is for our team.
Hey, man, have a great day. Appreciate the call. Connor and I are going to play our favorite game. It's called Shot or No Shot. And then we'll get back into your calls, and you'll hear from Ryan Poles on Waddle and Sylvie. That's all coming up in 2 minutes.